650. Today, but we can rest assured tonight that all is well, because we heard a message one day and it spoke shalom to our soul, and he made a place for us to hide behind that inner veil, so the bride can rest tonight. No matter what the prayer requests are, no matter what the report is from a doctor, no matter what the financial statement reads like, all is well, because we're in the presence of Almighty God. Let's sing that again as Brother Nathan comes to lead us in prayer. All is well. Oh, all is well. Thank you, Jesus. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. Oh, sing it this way.
Oh, there's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. Well, the woman found favor with God, so he gave her a son. While working in the fields, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified, church, all is well. Oh, let's sing it. Oh, all is well. Oh, all is well. Even through the trials, oh, we have heard this message alone. Bright, all is well. Little bride, rest for all. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. Well, all is well. Oh, all is well. We have heard this message alone. All is well.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Got a few announcements we want to make. Lord willing, we'll be having a youth Bible study here Thursday, the 25th, which is tomorrow night at 7:30. Brother Trevor will be speaking there. And I apologize, I announced it Sunday is Thursday the 26th, but Thursday is actually the 25th. So keep that in mind. And then, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, which is October the 31st. No, we're not canceling church for Halloween, but we are going to have a humble night. So don't bring a costume, but just come as you are. Come as yourself and wear your either your clothes you'd wear to work out in the yard, or either if you work in a line of work where you're not dressed up, you can just wear your work clothes or whatever it would be, and we'll be looking forward to that. Several people have been asking when we were going to have a humble night again, so I just thought it would be a good time to do it this fall, and then maybe we'll see how the Lord leads. Maybe we'll do another one in the winter. But wanted to also announce that Miracle Hope Fast was born on Monday, October the 22nd. Talk about a miracle. Amen. Lord moved on the scene and gave this child to the Fast family, and so we're thankful for that. 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 20 inches long. And so we want to praise the Lord for this love gift that God has blessed their home with, and just truly a miracle situation there. So we praise the Lord that he's still Hebrews 13 and 8. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Want to continue to remember Sister Jessica Condor and her family during the passing of her mother. That's also Sister Carol Reagan's sister that passed as Jessica's mother. So we want to remember that family in prayer. And then the funeral was Tuesday. So we just want to remember them at this time. Also, little Jacob Condor, yesterday was his birthday, and he has the flu on top of that. They found out yesterday, so we want to remember him in prayer tonight. And Brother Darrell, he's got some stomach problems tonight. Want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Mayfield, they took her to the doctor, and they ran some tests and sent her to the hospital for some further tests, but there wasn't a room available at the hospital, so they sent her back home. So we want to remember her in prayer tonight, that the Lord just move on the scene. And Brother Furman isn't here tonight. He had planned on being, but he was cutting grass today and had some problems with the lawnmower and shut it off and thought the blade had stopped spinning and went to reach underneath the deck to flip it over and cut the tip of his finger on his left hand about two-thirds of the way through, and had to go to the hospital and get stitches. So they're there now waiting to be released from the hospital. And he sent me the pictures, and one of the kids asked, "Are you going to show that at church?" And I said, "No, I don't want anybody passing out or throwing up, and then Brother Joel having to clean that up, him or Brother Jimmy or somebody." And so we decided not to share the pictures, but it was pretty rough. And even though it was cut about 2/3 of the way through, he said on the way to the hospital, he called Sister April, and she read Ezekiel 16:6, and the bleeding stopped. Praise the Lord for that. And he's got a follow-up with a hand surgeon tomorrow, so I want to remember him in prayer. And that the tip will, he uses this medical word, revascularize, which I guess means all the veins and everything will go back together and heal properly with no infection. So we want to remember him in prayer tonight in that regard. And then also I want to keep Sister Stephanie's Sister Kathy in prayer. The cancer has spread to her lymph nodes and portal vein, and they said her body is too weak for chemo or radiation, so we want to remember that situation in prayer. And then my dad asked that we'd remember a gentleman that works for him named Bobby. It's his brother-in-law, Rick, who has had two strokes and is in a coma, so we want to remember him in prayer tonight. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests that you'd like to make known by the uplifting of your hand? Amen. Now the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Into our hearts, Lord, and let us stand upon it. Let us testify of it, Lord, and just hold on. And Father, I ask for each and every one here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you'd open the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour down a blessing upon each one. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to just feed us, Lord. Give us that bread of life, Lord, that we can walk a little further with you, Lord. And Father, we just ask you, do this in your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. And the brothers would come this time. We're going to sing a chorus while Anna and Leah prepare for their special. Brother Hoover's leading song service.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling. And over and over and over.
Aren't you glad he knows your name? He knows what seat you're sitting in. He knows where you parked your car. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs came out in the brush today. That's the kind of God I want to serve. I wouldn't want to serve a God that had to scratch his head every once in a while, Jimmy, and catch up with things. He knows what's going on. Praise the Lord. With that same spirit. Page 556, if you want to turn there. Sister Stephanie said, I did it again. Y'all don't, she didn't know this one. But we will when we get done here. Praise the Lord. It says, see in the book. Let's try it.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. Oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you.
Besides Sister Jeannie and I know this song. Okay. Because I'm hearing her and me. So if the rest of you would like to join us, maybe you don't know it the way I'm singing it, but let's worship the Lord together. That's what we came for, right?
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same spirit that raised from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. It will quicken your mortal body if that spirit dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body if that spirit dwells in you. Shall we stand? Oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, does it? Oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you.
Evidently, this thing's not working right or something, because I asked you to shake hands with your neighbor as you sang, and everybody just stood there and sang. So, you all not being neighborly tonight or something, okay? It says, it will quicken your mortal body. Now, a lot of people might think we're singing about when we're going to be quickened out of the grave, but that won't be our mortal body. So if the Holy Spirit dwells in you tonight, this body has been quickened. Amen? We've been made alive to be witnesses and to share this wonderful, glorious gospel that we know with others. So the only thing I'm asking you tonight is just share it with that person that's next to you and shake their hand. If you're a brother and they're a brother, hug their neck, sister to sister. And let's worship the Lord as we turn it over to Brother Nathan.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, all dwells in you. Oh, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, all dwells in you. command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. Take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord has given me authority to walk all over you. Oh, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. Take up your weapons and flee, for the Lord.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Oh, and many times in trials, my weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am reminded, Lord, I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. So as I look at all the victories, His Spirit rises up in me, for it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. That the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, give in, just hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. Well, I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I'll trust the mighty hand of God, He'll shield my flames again. believe that tonight? Amen. He's always right on time. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. John's Gospel. St. John chapter 11. We have quite a few that are sick or traveling, and so you just amen double tonight to make up the difference, okay?
Amen.
Thank you for those three of you that participated in that. St. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and want to begin at verse 33. And just want to say it's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I don't want to take these opportunities for granted, but we're privileged people to have opportunities like this to come together when there's people in other countries that either don't have a building that they can assemble in, or either due to persecutions and things have to do it in secret. So I thank God for a place and a nation where we can come and worship the Lord together in freedom of religion still at this point. I pray that God allows that to go right on up until the time that we step into another body. But we don't know what the future will hold. But we thank God for these moments and times like this. St. John chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And I just want to take a thought tonight with the help of the Lord. Where have you buried him? Where have you buried him? And I think, if Lord willing, maybe next week or some other time, I'd like to go back and pick up where we left off on looking in the wrong dimension. But I just felt impressed to go a different direction tonight. So you just pray with me, and we'll be believing together that the Lord has something for you tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, we're unworthy, yet we're thankful. And Lord, we just ask that you would move on the scene. Lord, may tonight be the night that someone that has a need, Lord, whether it's sickness or salvation or deliverance or victory or joy or peace or whatever it is that they have need of tonight. Lord, maybe it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it would be, may tonight be the night that you come and do exceedingly abundantly for them, Lord. And maybe some came in with needs tonight. They don't maybe even know how to express it or explain it with human lips. But Lord, we recognize that the Holy Spirit can come, and where we don't know just how to speak or what to say, yet you can speak with groanings that we don't even know how to utter, Father. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd come on the scene tonight and just do something supernatural for us in the way of helping your people. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for it, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. The church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I just want to say before we get started, I had an opportunity to speak with Brother Jack Duff yesterday on the phone for a while, and speaking with him, he was sharing some things with me from the last time that we were there, and I think I've maybe shared a couple of the testimonies in part, but just to share kind of a continued testimony of that with you. When we was there the last time, I guess about this time last year, we had a prayer line there, and several people came through with very severe issues and diseases or afflictions and things. And there was a gentleman there, it was actually related to Brother Solomon, that when he came in, he had to be led around in the service due to his eyesight. Wasn't completely blind, I don't think, but legally blind and very difficult for him to see. And that night, he was prayed for, and he came in the next day, didn't have to have anybody lead him in, was able to go find a seat by himself, and just an immediate change there. And then there was another gentleman that was related to Sister Erica, that he had, I can't remember exactly, I believe it was liver cancer, but some form of cancer, and they were having to drain a liter or two of fluid off of him every week or two at the doctor, I believe every week, and he was unable to drive himself or take care of himself. And after prayer, he drove himself home that night from the service and was able to stay by himself and drive himself from that point on. He was still having to have fluid taken off of him, but they had taken it back to where it was about once a month that he was taking having to take fluids off of his body from the doctor there, and now he's to the point where he doesn't have to have any doctor's visits to have fluid removed from his body. And so we praise the Lord for his healing power in those situations. Some of these brothers that were healed in the service that evening have started coming to Brother Jack's regularly and are also being spiritually blessed, as well as the physical healings that they receive. So we just praise the Lord for that. And I'll just go ahead. I'm going to announce a few things way out early just because they're on my mind right now. But Lord willing, Brother Jack will be with us next Labor Day weekend. And I'm not going to have 4th of July meetings next year. Just felt led to go a different direction because of Brother Sievert's camp that the young people have been so blessed by. And I think there's even more of the young people wanting to go next year. And so that overlaps our 4th of July meetings so badly and it really wore out the young people. I think last year going to camp all week and then coming back and having another weekend of services. So I'm praying about possibly Memorial Day weekend services. I'll just go ahead and announce that so that people can go ahead and be maybe making some plans in that regard if you have travel plans or whatever. And we'll be praying about that. And I'll announce more about that closer to them. But just while I had it on my mind, I thought I would mention that. And so you just be in prayer for whatever the Lord has for us. We'll be looking forward to it and just looking forward to what God has in store. In the reading of the scripture tonight, usually this scripture is read in regards of the resurrection, because this is immediately before the resurrection of Lazarus. But in reading yesterday and studying a little bit, I was struck by this and just thought to take it in a little different direction. And I think Brother Hoover is singing that song, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. That was almost in the slides tonight, but I always tell Brother Trevor, he'll text me and ask me what I'm doing on a Tuesday afternoon sometimes, and I'll say, well, right now I'm trying to get 6 pages or 10 pages or whatever it is narrowed down to 4, because I know about usually we can average about getting 4 pages of notes in at a sermon. And so a lot of times I'll narrow down things that I think, well, you know, that's repetitious or whatever it would be. But that was almost part of the slides tonight, the scriptures and quotes that we'll read. But I want to look at this thought of where have you buried him? And Brother Branham makes that statement, and believe us out this, in 1950. He said, where have you buried him? Oh, my. Now, Brother Branham tells us again in the identification of Christ in all ages, 1964, he says, in our old nature, we could never be Christians. In our old nature, we could never be Christians. Now, we could have the name of Christian, or we could attend a church that said Christian over the door. We could have the name of message or attend a church that was a message church. But in our old nature, he said, we could never truly be a Christian. As we've looked at many times before, the word Christian means to be Christ-like. It's more than just to have a name or an association or just to gather together as a group of people. There are all kinds of religions, and not even just a religion. Just an organized group can do that, have a name and have a following and have a group and have a location that they meet together. But to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. And Brother Branham says, in our old nature, we can never do that. You could try to pretend, and you could try to, as he talks about, stuffing peacock feathers in a crow or whatever it would be, a wolf in sheep's clothing, or however, whatever parable you would use to describe it. We can try to imitate that and try to put on a front to other people and maybe even try to fool ourselves, but we can never truly be a Christian in our old nature. So we find when Jesus comes and he tells Nicodemus in St. John chapter 3, the first doctrine that we find Jesus teaching was, ye must be born again. Now, Nicodemus didn't understand this principle and concept. It was new to him. It was something that he couldn't really understand. The Pharisees hadn't taught him this doctrine. The Sadducees hadn't taught him this doctrine. But now Jesus comes and tells him, ye must be born again. He says, well, how can I do that? Can I enter my mother's womb to be born again? He was confused and looking at it from a natural perspective. But Jesus tells him, he says, don't be stumbled by the fact that I said you must be born again. And he talks about how that there would be in the spirit in these last days, that it wouldn't just be that we would worship God. He tells the woman at the well in the next chapter, St. John chapter 4, said, well, you worship God in this mountain and we worship him in the temple over here. But he said, there's coming a time where the people won't worship God in just a geographic location or in just a specific style or under a specific name or auspices. But he said there's coming a time when the people will worship God in spirit and in truth. And he said God is a spirit, so he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Now, we can get in the spirit in the regards of emotion and expressions and feeling good. And, oh, I had cold chills run down my spine, and I shouted, and I ran, and I did this and that, and that's wonderful. But without the truth there to balance that, it'll run into fanaticism. Or it'll run into just a mental workup or an emotional workup or somebody just getting in the flesh. Yet, if we just have just word, truth, 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 and no spirit to quicken it, then that'll run up just into legalism or fundamentalism or something like that. So we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We find that the Holy Spirit itself, it feeds on the truth. It feeds on the word. It loves to come around where the word is being spoken. It loves to come around where the word is being taught in a balance. Remember when those on the way to Emmaus there, they began to talk about him. And when they did, it brought him near to them. Now, you can sit and you can talk about other things and it won't budge God a bit. But when you go to talk about him, just like one of us, you know, we're an attribute of God. And Brother Bam tells us in the Church Age book, he said the greatest thing, the most beautiful thing on the sound of the human ear is somebody's own name. When somebody says your name, Nathan. Now, sometimes it can be a bad thing. It depends on, as I said, I think it was Sunday, about, you know, saying it how you mean it and things like that. And you can say the same thing, just like Brother Bram said, Ricky and Ricketta, and the Lord condemned him for it in one place, and then he came around and said it later. And so there was something about it, about the from his heart, how he was expressing it. My wife can look at me and say, Nathan. And all my ears just perk up, Brother Jimmy. Or I can hear another room say, Nathan. And I know, I've done something wrong. I've got grease on a pair of jeans, or I've done something that's disturbing her. And there's a difference. Even though it's still my name, the way that it's spoken, there's a difference in my interest level of whether I want to go and pursue that or not. So the same with God. There can be somebody that says the name of Jesus and takes it in vain, or says it just as a byword or a swear word, or says it just randomly with no heartfelt religion behind it, and it doesn't move God at all. In fact, it disgusts him that they would even waste his name in that way. But yet there's another way where we can speak the name of Jesus and his ears just begin to perk up, and he says, oh my, somebody is talking about me. Somebody is fellowshipping around me and my word. And Brother Bram said, when that happens, it brings his presence near to us. Oh my, if we could recognize his presence tonight. So Brother Branham speaking here says our old nature, we can never be a Christian, and Jesus says you must be born again. So for a new birth to take place, there had to be, for the new nature to come in and dwell and to make its abode and to be comfortable at home in your life, then the old nature had to die. And so you ask people sometimes, oh, how many years have you been a Christian? Well, bless God, I came to the message back in here, and bless God, I started going to the Baptist church over here, and bless God, I came to the Pentecostal church over here. But we recognize that's not so much what we're asking, but when did you come to God? What do you mean, Brother Nathan? Where did you bury him? Where did you bury that old carcass that you used to drag around called David Hoover or Nathan Bryan or whatever it was? Oh, it's not just enough to sit on a Church of the Open Door pew or a Branham Tabernacle pew or a Happy Valley pew or whatever pew you would want to name, Methodist pew, Baptist pew, Cloverdale pew, Pentecostal pew, whatever it be. You know, that's nice to come and attend a church somewhere. We believe in that. We believe in doing that. But, you know, Brother Bam says if it's just a lodge, if it's just a gathering together, then you could do that down at one of these lodges that gather together under some name of a mason or whatever it would be. But when you come to church, it should be that, Lord, we're coming so that the old nature can die. And not just once upon a time at an altar, but we constantly want to make sure he remains buried. Jesus came and Lazarus had died, and he didn't just take their word for it. He said, where have you buried him? Oh my, we can ask people today, when did you bury him? Oh, I know we weren't saved on any certain date, Brother Branham said. We was always saved before the foundation of the world. But there was a time when two omnipotents met. Amen. In the mind of God, you was always saved, but there was a time, someplace, maybe it was in an altar, maybe it was driving down the road in your car, maybe it was in an old barn or a woodshed somewhere. I don't know where it was, but there was a time when two omnipotents met and something took place. See, God, ever since that you took a breath of life in you, if you were a predestinated seed of God, he was seeking and searching, but yet there was nothing in you yet seeking and searching. You maybe ran from it. You maybe tried to go as hard in the other direction as you could, but at some point you recognized this deep that was calling to a deep, and now you began to respond. Now, it wasn't that something new happened. It wasn't that somebody just sang a good song one night, or the preacher got real anointed and preached you under conviction, or somebody picked the right tape or the right guest preacher, and so all of a sudden God began to call you. No, God was calling all along. What it was is you began to respond to the call. The deep was always calling, but now the deep within you begins to respond to that call. Brother Branham talks about when he was 12 years old and he was going to school, and he said that his teacher there, he had a really bad temper and he was always getting in fights and going home with a bloody mouth and things. He didn't care how big they were, how many of them there were. He had a temper and he was ready to fight. And he said his teacher began to be concerned about him, and she said, Billy, she said, take this piece of string, and she said, go and just sit and tie 9 knots in that string. And she said, when you do that, she said, you won't have your temper anymore. He says in Questions and Answers 1959, I reached down and grabbed my string and I started to tie 1 knot. I throw the string down and away I went. See, I just couldn't do it, see? And I said, I could never be a Christian. Oh my, I could never be a Christian. But let me tell you, that night down yonder on Ohio Avenue, when the Holy Spirit came into me, that settled that temper. That was over. He said, I said, I could never do it. I could never be a Christian because I'd never get over that. I said, something that's born in me. I said, boy, my daddy was hot-headed. My mother was half Indian and enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. I said, me? Oh, boy, anybody that jumps on me is going to get it. That's all. I said, if I had to climb up on a stepladder to hit him, I said, I'll sure do it, see? But now you could drag me out there and wallow me and knock me. See, why? Not me. What am I trying to make a point here? Something happened. That old power. That old William Branham died and someone else come in. He said, and it makes me feel sorry for my enemy. When anyone does anything wrong to me, I never pray against them. I pray for them. Oh, God help us. You see, sometimes we get down and we say, Lord, just bring coals of fire down upon their head, Lord. And Lord, you know what they did. And Lord, you know what they said. And Lord, you know what they put me through. And Lord, just vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So come on, Jesus, and have some vengeance. He said, I don't go and pray against them. I pray for them. I feel sorry for them. Now, little Billy Branham, a 12-year-old boy with his lips cracked and his teeth and his gums bleeding and his maybe his black eye and bruised jaw and all that, there was no way that William Branham could have felt this way, but something happened. The old William Branham died, and a new William Branham came in. And now, the same guy that said I would have climbed up on a stepladder if I had to hit the guy, I would have rolled up my sleeves and just went at him. He said, now it makes me feel sorry for my enemy. Oh, my. The conflict between God and Satan, 1962. He said, they tell you sometime Brother Branham died. Don't you believe that? Why? Brother Branham can't die, see? That's right, I can't die. Done dead. Now, William Branham died a long time ago, about 30 years ago or better, about 32 years ago. I've been preaching about 32 years, so he died even before that. But now, this is a new creature. Amen. I don't know exactly, Brother Stephen, where the old coal shed was, the old wood shed, rather, that he said he knelt at and prayed there on Ohio Avenue. But see, when people come to town, Brother Hoover and Brother Layton, Brother Trevor, myself, maybe they're from Africa or India or Canada or down in South America or whatever it be, and we get them in the car and we drive them down to Eastern Cemetery and we show them a pyramid tombstone. We begin to get pictures with them out in front of the grave, and they appreciate that. But I want to say tonight, William Branham isn't there. Amen. He's not there. So maybe we are preaching on looking in another dimension tonight. I don't know. Maybe this is just a part of it. But amen, he's not there. All the old carcass that he used to live in is down there somewhere. I don't know what the status of it is. I don't know how decayed and how rotted it is. But his soul and his spirit are not in that ground. And in fact, he's in another body. Why? Because William Branham didn't die in 1965. He died many years before that. And we should take him down to Ohio Avenue and say, well, I don't know exactly the address, but this is where William Branham died. Amen. He didn't die in a car wreck on his way home from Arizona. Amen. He didn't die in a hospital there in Texas somewhere. He died in an old woodshed many years before on Ohio Avenue in a woodshed. Where have you buried him? Amen. Somebody ought to testify tonight. Maybe some of you, your mind can go back to where you buried that old Jimmy Ard or that old Trevor Eamon or whoever it would be. You can remember. Maybe it was an altar at a revival. Maybe it was just a regular service at your home church, and just something about the service that began to get your attention. You recognize, you know what? God's calling me for something higher than where I've been living. Maybe it was driving down the road, listening to a tape in your car, and the Holy Spirit just dropped down with conviction, and you had to pull the car over because you was weeping and crying so much, and you got out of the car and knelt down there beside the floorboard, and you began to pray and ask God. Maybe you just took a little time. And you was just going to spend some time with God, no matter what the schedule looked like, no matter what anybody else said or did. You was just going to get alone with God, and you knelt down there beside your bed, and a presence began to come into the room, and something happened, and you couldn't maybe explain what it was, but you knew that the old person that you was before, you weren't that person anymore. Amen. If you don't have a testimony like that, I would encourage you to get one. Amen. Where have you buried him? He says again, the testimony of a true witness, 1961. Where have you buried him? And she said, Lord, come and see. He says in questions and answers, number 4, 1964, this is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now you can't be in two bodies at one time, but there can be two natures in you at one time. You say, oh my, explain that for me, Brother Nathan. Well, I'm going to let Brother Branham do it for you, okay? Communion, 1965, December the 12th. This is the last tape that we have of Brother Branham in Tucson, Arizona, there at Brother Green's church. And he says, 40 years ago, the William Branham, it isn't the same one tonight. If somebody back there would say, William Branham, he was a rascal, see? Because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner. I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there too was another nature present, see? Predestinated was in there by God in this same body, see? Two natures in there. Well, I only catered to one. Here he is, born of Charles and Ella Branham. His natural heritage, his natural birth, the natural seed that he came from. He's born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies, and all the negative things from both sides of the family. Here they are, just poured into these young people in the Branham family, these seven children as they came down through. And now here he gains all these attributes of Charles and Ella Branham, and there's that nature on the inside of him that he received from them, but yet at the same time there's a predestinated seed down on the inside of him. And while he said there would be nights that they would have drunk parties and stuff there at the house, and he said, I'd climb up on the roof to get away from it. And he said, I began to think one morning, he said, there was a little flower there that had grown up. And he said, here, all the cold weather we've been having, he said, then it was right there on an old burn pile where they'd burn their trash and things. And he said, all of the elements, the cold weather that it had been through,
and then all the heat and the fire that had been there, and he looks out there on that old fire dump, and he notices a little flower coming up through there, and he said, how did you survive through all of this? How did that flower come back up when it was a dead seed down in there, and it had went through temperature changes and all kinds of pressures and things, but yet now this little flower begins to poke itself up through the ashes and through the dirt, and it begins to live a life. And he said, what was it? Oh my. I'll just go ahead and read that. I'll come back to this quote in a minute. He says, what was it? There was another William Branham, see? A little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God. The word of God that was placed in there. Each one of you can think of similar things. He says, going back here, he said, I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner. I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there, too, was another nature present. See, predestinated was in there by God in the same body. See, two natures in there. Well, I only catered to one. As I growed, I'd goot as a baby, dada. First thing you know, I become a liar, become everything else that's a sinner, because I was raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life all the time. See, the problem was he just hadn't learned to yield to this other nature that was down on the inside of him fighting to get out. And now this predestinated seed that God's placed down inside of him, his other nature, he's, you know, a pugilist and a fighter and all this because of his family heritage. And he was catering to that nature and yielding to that nature because he didn't know anything about the other nature. He wasn't raised in church. He wasn't raised in a religious home. But as soon as something begins to cross his path and the word begins to breathe forth over his life, he begins to recognize there's something higher than this nature that I've been living in. Something higher than what I've been experiencing. Something higher than the things of the world that have only brought discouragement and sadness and depression. And something begins to call him up to a little higher plane. And he said he kneels down there in that little woodshed on Ohio Avenue. And there he buried the old William Branham. A new nature comes to live. God's provided way of healing. 1954, he says, conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. He says again, questions and answers, 1961. So the soul is the nature of the Spirit. First you were mean and evil and hatred and malice and strife. Now you're loving, sweet, kind, and see the difference? It's your nature. I'll call it that. It's your soul that's been changed. The old soul died, and the new soul, which is the new nature, was born into you. He says again, thou knowest all things, 1952. When this old nature dies and a new nature sets in, then he becomes a part of God, a son of God. Again, Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. 1957, your old nature died, the nature of the world, and you become a new creation. And your desires, that old life that had a beginning when God breathed the breath into your nostrils. Then you were born, when you were born, that life of carnal nature died, and it had a beginning and it had an end, and it died and was done away with forever, the old nature. And God came in with the new nature, then love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, peace, patience and meekness and kindness that entered and taken the place of malice and temper and hatred and emulation, strife and all those things. It took its place when you passed from death unto life. Amen. The old nature had to die so that the new nature, the Holy Spirit, could come and make its abode in you so that it could feel welcome inside of you. Now, the most miserable person, Brother Branham said, is somebody that's trying to pretend to be something that they're not. He says in The Lamb and the Dove in 1957, he said, as Congressman Upshaw used to say, don't try to be nothing that you ain't. Well, that's pretty good. Don't try to be nothing that you are not. Just be yourself. And then if you want to be a Christian, just ask Christ. He will take your old nature out, put a new nature in. Then you don't have to impersonate anything. It's just your normal life that you're living. Some of the most miserable people that you'll ever see on the face of the earth is somebody that's pretending to be something that down on the inside they know that that's really not what they are, but they're pretending to be. Brother Branham said that's what the Pharisees were. The Pharisee, that word Pharisee meant an actor, that they were pretending. They were going around with, oh my, they were righteous, self-righteous and pious, and my, they had their robes just a certain way, and they washed their hands just a certain way, and they wore the quotes on their sleeves, and they went and acted a certain way and all this, but yet just mopey and sad and just a law of legalism and going through the motions. You talk about a sad, miserable person. It's somebody that comes to church and puts on a happy face and puts on their message clothes and puts up their hair in a message style and comes and sings good message songs and listens to the message quotes and amens and raises their hand and smiles and claps as the preacher's preaching, and oh my, maybe they even get up and sing a song and they go through the motions, but down on the inside when they go back home on Monday, then they begin to put on their old worldly clothes again. They begin to act a different way. They begin to live a different way. They begin to talk a different way. They go to their work and the conversation they use there, oh, they'd be decent to use it in the church parking lot, but then they come to the church parking lot and they use a different language there and a different personality, and the things that they participate with their work friends, oh, they'd never do that with their message friends, but yet, you know, and what are they doing? They're trying to feed both natures at the same time. And instead of yielding to one nature or the other, they're trying to pretend to be something that they're not. And Brother Bam talks about that Indian chief there. He said when he got saved, he said, oh, he said, how you doing, chief, since you got saved? He said, sometimes good, sometimes bad. He said, what do you mean, chief? He said, well, there's two dogs on the inside of me. What was he talking about? Two natures. Two natures. Didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. He's just saved. And he said, there's two dogs on the inside of me. And he said, they're constantly fighting back and forth. He said, well, he said, which one wins, chief? He said, well, whichever one I feed the most. Whichever one I feed the most. What is he saying? Whichever one that I yield to that nature the most. Oh my, Brother Bam said you walk into a person's home or you walk into their office. He said you can see the pictures on the wall and the music that they're listening to and the books they're reading and the movies they're watching and things. And you can see something about it. You can tell what their nature is feeding on. And whatever your nature feeds on, as we said about those on the road to Emmaus there, if they had been feasting on, oh my, did you see those two gladiators the other night? My, that guy just butchered that other one, didn't he? Oh my goodness. Oh my, did you see? I mean, his intestines, when that guy hit him with that chopping axe, his intestines just was all over. And oh my goodness, I would pay to see a fight like that again. And oh my, that other guy, did you see how when that guy hit him with that big old club, how his helmet mashed in? And oh goodness, talk about Jesus wouldn't have been coming and fellowshipping around that. What were they feeding on? But they began to talk about him. And he began to come around. Now, usually, if we're not careful, if we're just pretenders and not possessors, then we talk about him, you know, when we get around somebody else that's talking about him. And you know, we go through the motions and we pray over our food and we pray and now lay me down to sleep at the end of the work day or whatever it would be. But you can tell that there's something else on the inside that your life is taking a preference to. And but yet then when sickness hits the home or when financial trouble hits the home or when there's a big catastrophe in the family or something, oh my, then you can see people and they just start attending all the time. And oh my, they kick back in gear and start paying their tithes and they're wanting to talk about the Lord and ask for counseling and ask for prayer. And oh, Brother Nathan, pray for me. I'm really going through a trial. And then, you know, it seems like they're just on fire for the Lord. Why? Because they're in the middle of the fire. And then when everything gets rolling pretty smooth and there's money in the checking account again and there's no sickness in the family and my, they're getting to be a little bit more popular at their job or popular at their school, and then all of a sudden you don't see from them or hear from them. They don't talk about Jesus no more. What is it? What nature they're feeding? What nature they're feeding. See, sometimes as we looked at the ash heap, sometimes God keeps us on the ash heap long enough for us to recognize, hey, it's about him, not about us. Amen. St. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. Now, Paul's been converted at this point. Paul's not a sinner. Paul's not even just a good saved, you know, Baptist or Pharisee or whatever. He's had an experience. He's met the pillar of fire. He's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And yet still, as he's writing the Romans, here in Romans chapter 7, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's recognizing that there's constantly two laws or two natures that are battling with him, and that the flesh wants to do one thing, but yet his heart, his soul, it wants to do something else. And when he goes to do good, there's always evil present, and the good that he would do, his flesh hinders him from it, and all this battle and this war that he's facing. And he doesn't say, you know, who shall deliver me from this dual personality that I have? He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The old man, his old nature is dead, but he recognizes that it's still there. Even though it's dead, it's still there. And see, Jesus, when he comes and he asks them, "Where is Lazarus?" They didn't say, "Well, we've got him out on a table here. We laid him out in the side of the pew here beside us in church. Or we put him up on a big podium there on the pulpit. We just thought we'd leave him there so people could come by. And if they was reminiscing about Lazarus, they could just come by and see him again." He said, "Where have you buried him?" And they said, "Come and see." They didn't take him to their job. They didn't take him to their best friend's house. They didn't take him to their favorite worldly activity. They didn't take him to their school and say, "Here's where I keep him." They took him to a grave. They took him to an old graveyard and took him back there, and they had rolled a stone over this thing. Paul's recognizing that even though this old nature is dead, Brother Bam said, this flesh that we have, it's sticky. It's a sticky nature. And even though you might have got the Holy Ghost down on the inside of your soul, that flesh, it still didn't get the Holy Ghost. Now, you might feel the Holy Ghost on your flesh. You might get blessed by the Holy Spirit. You may not even have the Holy Ghost on your soul yet and still come into a service. And my, the presence of God come down and you begin to shout and you begin to praise God. And my, you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just indwell in that flesh and the skin of a carcass. Yet he is down on the inside of us in our soul. But it's not the flesh that got converted. That's why Paul said, as we'll look at it in a little bit here, he had to die daily. It wasn't just enough for him to come to an altar once upon a time and then just drag that old dead carcass around everywhere he went and bring him to church. Where's that old dead nature? Here he is. Here he is. I got him right here in the pew beside me. Oh my, you start talking about my mommy or my daddy or my uncle or somebody that one of my friends, I'll just resurrect the old fella for a little while. Let him talk to you. Oh, where's that old dead man? Oh, I don't bring him around church. You know, I'm a pretty good fellow there. But, you know, I get to work and some of the guys start talking about some dirty jokes and things. And I kind of crack the coffin open a little bit and just check and see how he's doing, you know. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 6 verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, you remember, we looked at this a little bit about a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, something like that, on living like a dead man and how that, you know, Brother Bam said that a woman, she doesn't care how her hair's done or what she's wearing or anything like that. Once she's laying in that casket, she couldn't care less. And so we recognize that a dead man, if he's truly dead, there's something about it. Sin doesn't affect him anymore. And you can hold a cigarette under his nose and he's not going to reach up and say, "Hey, give me that. I want another smoke. I want another hit off of that cigarette." He's just going to lay there. It's not going to bother him. You can wave the cork under his nose and the bottle, and he, it's not going to bother him a bit. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead. So how do we reconcile these two things? Here, Paul says, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Then he turns around and says, "Oh, but because we died to the law, now we're dead and we're freed from sin. And this is just a matter of chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Romans. He says these two things, but he comes around in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and he clarifies it and he says, I die daily. He had to die daily. Not just once upon a time at an altar, not just on the road to Damascus, had a good spiritual experience and that was it. But Paul recognized, I have to die daily. Every day, Brother Jimmy, I have to go out there to the graveyard, and instead of digging the old fella up, I have to get I'm still getting a shovel full of dirt, but instead of getting it off the grave, I'm trying to add more dirt on the grave to make sure he stays good and dead and in there. What are you doing, Brother Nathan? Come see where we've buried him. Come see where we buried him. Let's get a shovel let's just make sure he stays good and buried. Not dig him up, not dig up the old guy. And oh my, sometimes you get around somebody and you think, oh my. Remember Nellie Sanders, Brother Bram talks about in the greatest battle ever fought there in 1962. And he said that Nellie Sanders, she was converted under Brother Bram's ministry there. And oh my, just a good little godly sister. But she was walking downtown one day and she began to walk by an old bar room there in an old dance hall, and they was dancing and playing music, and he said she just stopped for a moment. Now here, she's come up higher than her old bar room and her old dance floor and all that. She's come up higher into heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but now she's walking, and all of a sudden a song that maybe she used to hear back in high school. Oh my, don't sit there like angels tonight. I know me and Brother Trevor ain't the only ones in here. He's amening, so I know he's right there with me. Walking through his store sometimes and sitting in a restaurant sometimes, that song that you used to go flying down the road to with your girlfriend or something, and before you know it, you're sitting over there patting that foot and you think, oh my goodness, he's starting to resurrect again. I better kill that guy. Something's starting to resuscitate him. And Nellie Sanders walking by, and all of a sudden she hears this music and she stops just for a moment. And she begins to listen. Her mind goes back, oh, I remember when me and so-and-so used to win all those trophies and my how he'd spin me around the floor. And oh, those poor people, Brother Jimmy. Those poor people in that dance floor. And they don't know the Jesus that I know. Maybe, just maybe, Brother Daniel, I could go in and witness to him a little bit. And I could just shine my light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, but don't forget that other part. Don't let Satan blow it out. And so we don't go into the bar alleys and the pool rooms and the dance halls and all that and try to witness to somebody. Don't go on the devil's territory. Get them on your territory. And so she stops for a minute, and she goes in, and she said, before I knew it, she went in with a good intention, Brother Jimmy. She went in thinking, I'm going to be a help to somebody. And she got in there, and somebody said something, and somebody else said something else, and another song began to play, and she thought, oh my, that was the one I could really cut a rug to, Brother Hoover. Oh my, I remember, my goodness. And before she knows it, she's out in some man's arms spinning around the dance floor. And before you know it, here she comes running down the road, panicked, scared. She's comes to Brother Branham's mother's house. He's living there with her now. And all of a sudden, oh Brother Bill, I'm lost. He said, no, I don't think so. Now, if you remember this story, there was a man by the name of Wayne that was a drunk, just a town drunk. And Brother Branham had been driving through town there and noticed old Wayne was just, he'd had a few too many and he's stumbling all around the street. And he said, I got him in my car and picked him up so the police wouldn't get him. He didn't roll down the window and say, oh, you rank sinner. Oh, my goodness. You're going to go to hell if you keep going the way you're going. He gets him in the car and he takes him home. And he puts him in his own bed. Reminds me sort of like the Good Samaritan. And he puts him in his bed. And he goes in. He's sitting there in the chair. And all of a sudden this pounding comes to the door. Nellie Sanders comes in. I said, Brother Bill, I'm lost. He said, oh, I don't think so. He said, let's have a word of prayer. She said, oh, I'm lost. And she begins to tell him. And he didn't say, like a lot of message preachers, well, I guess you're right. You made a big mistake, Nellie. Oh, my Nellie. I just don't know about this. You know, I think you should go home and you should pray through for about 6 months. Don't even come to church. Just you make sure you're good and prayed through about it. And then once you are, you come back to church and I'm going to march you up on the platform and you're going to tell everybody in the church what you did. And you're going to ask for the forgiveness of the people. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll forgive you, Nellie. I don't know how your tape plays, but my tape didn't say that when I listened to it. He said, let's just pray, Nellie. My, so simple. Didn't give her a rule book, a set of rules this thick, and didn't yell and scream at her and tell her she was a hypocrite and serpent seed and a backslider. He said, let's just pray, Nellie. And as he begins to pray, something in another dimension begins to come out of this woman. And looked like the shape of a black bat and flies around and goes over the bed behind Wayne. He said, out of the bed came Wayne. He was all of a sudden awful sobered up. He said they got Nellie home and came back, and he said his mother shook out the sheets and everything, couldn't find what it was. Why? They was looking in the wrong dimension, I guess, Brother Jimmy. What was it? She did what a lot of people do. We die out to whatever it was. We come to an altar. We ask God to help us and to forgive us. And we get up and we go out of these doors with good intentions. And then Satan begins to knock on our door and say, hey, but what about back then? And don't you remember how you used to do this? And oh my, don't you think it'd be good to do that again? And you can either daily, not once upon a revival, not once every Easter, not once every camp, not once every Mother's Day, but daily you can go down there and get you a big shovel and Jesus say, where have you buried him? Let's go find him, Jesus. Let's come and see. Let's go back to that old altar and I'll show you where I buried him and get you another big shovel of dirt and throw it on there and say, you ain't getting out of there today, buddy. Amen. You ain't, you know, that old nature ain't resurrecting today. I'm serving a higher power and you just keep shoveling day after day. Keep piling that thing up. 6 feet under ain't enough. Keep piling the mound up higher. But what a lot of us do, we run into some of our old buddies and, oh my goodness, I remember how you used to do this, how you used to do that. Paddles! We want to resurrect the old guy. Oh, yeah. I remember how I used to be. I remember how I used to be a fighter, Brother Hoover. I remember how I used to, oh, I remember how I used to be a ladies' man. And, oh, my, we'd go to this place and that place. And, oh, I remember. And now you've got him on oxygen. Now you're going to have somebody come and pump some adrenaline in his veins. And what are you doing? You're trying to resurrect the old guy. Right. I don't want to glory in that old rotten carcass. No. Amen. I don't want to glory in the things that I used to be and the things that I used to do. I don't want to brag on that, get around somebody, oh yeah, I remember he used to do this and he used to say that and he used to act like this. And I think, yeah, about time to go throw another shovel of dirt on him. Amen. But instead of that, many times we get out the paddles and try to resuscitate him. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Not I that lives anymore. Not that old nature. All the things that he used to do, I don't want to do anymore. And the things that I do now, he didn't want to do. Right. Oh, I remember I used to tell Brother Trevor when I was running from the Lord, and he'd text me and say, haven't seen you at church for a while. I said, oh, well, maybe I'll be there Wednesday night, Lord willing. He said, oh, he's willing. He's willing. It's just, are you willing? Oh, the things that we used to do, now the new nature came in. We don't want to do those things anymore. And the things that we do now, that old guy didn't want to do. Oh, my. He didn't want to pray for his enemies. He didn't want to pray for those that despitefully use him and persecute him. He didn't want to pray for somebody that talked bad about him or his family. He didn't want to do those things. He didn't want to attend church three times a week and go and pray for the sick at all hours of the night and try to do anything he could to help somebody. He didn't want to do that. No, he was looking out for number one, the old guy.
But there's something about it that new nature wants to live for others. How can I help somebody else? Life 1958, he says, you're afraid. If I accept my healing, I can't hold out. If I give Christ my heart, I'm afraid somebody will laugh at me. He said, now you're not conditioned yet. You ain't dead enough yet.
Amen.
I wonder how many times we come to church and we're not dead enough yet. And the Holy Spirit impresses us, go pray for that person. Go encourage that person. Go to the altar and pray. Go up and ask Brother Nathan to pray for your sickness or do this. And we sit there and we think, well, what will so-and-so think? I mean, I went up last month, and I mean, I did go down to the altar at camp last year, and I did this and I did that. And what will somebody think? You're not dead enough yet.
Amen.
You're not dead enough yet. Can you imagine those on the day of Pentecost sitting there, and they got in one heart and one accord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to fall with tongues, and fire, licks of fire came in and dwelt among them, and the Holy Spirit began to baptize over every soul, and one of them began to think, oh my, I'm just about to lose it. I'm about to go through this roof. I'm going to shout or scream or holler or dance or do something. But what would Peter think? But what would Peter think? I just better stifle it down. And Peter's sitting over there, oh goodness gracious, I ain't ever felt nothing like this before. I've walked on water before, but I'm about to run through that wall. But what would James think? You know, he's the brother of the Lord, and I don't know, he's not doing it, so it would have been a different day of Pentecost, wouldn't it? God's provided way, 1953. Now, you will sin, you're bound to sin because you just can't help it, but not willful sin. He that sins willfully after he received the knowledge of the truth, see, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but every day you're bound to sin. And you're bound to be backsliding constantly. So it takes a constant prayer to God. A constant, Lord, help me start this morning out right. And then it doesn't stop there. Lord, by lunch I've already messed up, Lord, and I need you to help me make it through the rest of the day right. And Lord, when that person said this, Lord, I did better than I used to do. I didn't smack him in the mouth or yell back at him or anything like that. But Lord, you know what I thought in my heart about that person. Lord, I know that ain't right. Lord, I need you to help me. What is it? A constant daily dying. Paul said, I die daily, Brother Branham says. And if Paul had to die daily, how much more am I going? I'm going to have to stay there dead all the time if Paul had to die daily to stay right with God. And so we'll all have to do that. Just die out to ourself. He says again in Respects 1961, and so he said, where have you buried him? And they went down to the grave. They went down to the grave. What a good place to bury somebody. Not drag them around with you everywhere you go. Not keep them in the coffin on the way to Walmart. And well, bless God, if anybody talks to me out of line, I'm going to crack the lid of this coffin and get this old boy out and show him what I used to be like. I'll show him, bless God. Not dead enough yet. Where have you buried him? And they went down to the grave. Invisible Union, 1965. He says, you're born anew. Don't try to dig him up. He's dead. Leave him dead. Make sure he's dead every day. When you roll out of bed in the morning, instead of figuring out everything you're going to do that day, I heard a man say the other day, talking to a group of college graduates and giving them some advice about putting God first. And he was telling them some things that he recommended they do. And he said, put your slippers way underneath the bed when you go to sleep at night. So that when you get up in the morning, you have to get down on your knees and get those slippers. And while you're down there, thank God for what he did for you.
Right.
While you're down there, ask God, say, Lord, it's another day in Laodicea. And I want to make sure the old Nathan Bryan is dead. I want to make sure they'll read your name in tonight. Don't place it all on me. I want to make sure I'm so dead to the world and dead to all these things and dead to my old nature and dead. Don't get down and dig him up because you got out of the wrong side of bed. Don't dig him up. He's dead. Again, Baum and Gilead, 1959. Brother Bram says, you say, well, there's no harm in that. Stay there long enough and come up and find out if there's any harm in it. He's talking about staying on your knees.
Let new life take a hold. See what the old life, you'll rot to those things. Them cigarettes and tobaccos and whiskey and stuff of the world rot out of you. You just don't stay long enough. Stay there until you're thoroughly dead. Then after you're dead, stay there till you rot. There's no chance of a rejuvenation again. We just don't stay long enough sometimes. Now what happened to just accept it? And it's, you know, no, stay there long enough. Sometimes we don't stay there long enough. Sometimes we're down there, Lord, I feel your presence. And Lord, I believe you're working in my life. And Lord, Burger King sure sounds good right about now. And my, I bet if I stay here, there's other people thinking about other restaurants. And I don't want to hold them, Lord. And I don't want them to think, I don't want to offend the musicians and take their time and Brother Nathan's time. And then you begin to think about all these things, earthbound things. And you think, well, I guess I better get up. You didn't stay long enough. You didn't stay long enough. Don't think on just these things down here. My, if you know, any time that I have to stay 30 minutes extra and it makes an eternal impact on somebody, that 30 minutes was well worth it. Amen. How many would like to trade 30 minutes for eternity? That's a pretty good trade. That's a pretty good trade. Amen. I was talking to Brother Jack yesterday, and we were talking about the statement Brother Jason Watkins made when he was here. He made it a couple times about how that Jesus multiplies. I remember I preached a sermon a few years ago when Jesus borrows something, and that when Jesus borrows something, he always pays it back with interest upon compound interest upon compound interest. He borrowed Mary's womb for 9 months, and then he gave her eternal life on the day of Pentecost. That was a pretty good trade. Amen. He borrowed Peter's boat and gave him the keys to the kingdom. That was a pretty good trade. Questions and Answers 1959. It ain't what it looks like to you. It ain't what it looks to you. It's what God's word says about it. Look on the day of Pentecost. What did that look like? Look at the other times when they received the Holy Ghost. What did it look like? Women and men, the Virgin Mary and all of them staggering like drunk men, reeling, just reeling, screaming, stammering lips and other tongues, carrying on like a bunch of idiots. But they were dying to themselves, and the Holy Ghost was coming into them, and they set the known world afire. What we need today is men who will die out to themselves and rot out to themselves and burn every bridge behind and surrender everything to Christ. Where have you buried him? If you can't tell me tonight, why don't you bury him right here tonight? Why don't you bury him right here? Why fool around anymore with all the things of, well, you know, maybe next month, maybe next week, maybe next year, maybe next camp, maybe next revival, maybe next guest speaker. Oh my, what we need is to die and rot to the things of the world and the things of ourself and surrender everything to Christ. If God could set the world afire back there in those early days of Christianity, with just a handful of people that would yield themselves like that, what could he do tonight? What did Brother Bram say? Just one or two people. One or two people really on fire for the Lord would do more than 50 revivals. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Lord Jesus, I can think back to times in my life, Lord, where Lord experiences were I had to come and have a little conference with you, talk to you about where I was at in my life and things that were taking place. Lord, where I had to go and maybe circumstances and pressures and things that tried to resurrect that old guy that I laid down many years ago. There's been times I've had to come and say, Lord, I'm not proud of what I did. I'm not proud of what I said. I'm not proud of how I let that old Nathan Bryant try to shine through a little bit. But Lord, I thank you that you've always given me grace. Instead of rejecting me, you just handed me a shovel and picked up one yourself and tried to help me bury that old guy again. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to die daily. Help us, Lord, to bury that old nature so far deep, Lord, that
That when people looked at us, they wouldn't see that old nature, the way we used to act, the way we used to live, the things we used to talk about and fellowship around, the activities we used to take part in, Lord. But, Lord, they would see that on the inside there's been a change. Lord, it's something that they know we couldn't do, something they know back in the past our nature wouldn't have even desired to live the way we live now and do the way we do now, Lord. But, Lord, help us just to keep that old nature sealed in a coffin down below the ground where it belongs, Lord. When people rile against us, Lord, help us not to get out the old crowbar and pry open the lid of the coffin again, let that old nature out. But Lord, help us to do like you did when you was here. And when they riled against you, you riled not back. When they spit on you, you didn't spit back at them, Father. When they ripped out your beard, you stood there and took it. You didn't go back to the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And when they slapped you, slap them back. But you turned the other cheek, Lord. Not only that, you didn't do it in a self-righteous way of look how holy and righteous I am, but you prayed and said, Father, forgive them. Oh, Lord, your prophet, that was how he could recognize the difference between those seals that the souls under the altar couldn't be bribed because they were crying for vengeance. But he looked by revelation, he said, the bride turns the other cheek. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us to stay so dead to that old flesh, that old carnal nature that we came from, Lord. Lord, help us to die daily. Lord, help us to put everything else aside and take the time to, Father. There's some, Lord, they don't know. They can't point to a time or a place or an experience or where something began to change in their lives, and they're still dealing with that old nature on a daily basis, that they're yielding more to that nature and feeding that nature more than they are that seed down on the inside of them. Lord, may tonight be the night. Lord, not because a preacher got up and said some words, but because they recognize that you have placed a deep in their life that's been calling to them from a child, that they knew there was something more to life than where they've been living at, what they've been doing. And now this deep on the inside of them begins to respond to that deep that you're calling from. Something's recognizing that it's more than just the words of a man. It's more than just a book or a set of rules. But there's a life that they can live that's, oh, it's more than just sitting on a pew. It's more than just memorizing some verses. It's more than just going through the motions and taking communion and going to a church service, Lord. But it's a life that outweighs that old life from so many more times. Brother Branham said, from the ridiculous to the sublime. Oh, help us, Father. If there's any here that haven't experienced that, may tonight be the night. May they be able to point back to 1221 Silver Street and say that Wednesday night in 2018 in October there, that's where I buried him. You want to see where he's buried at? I'll take you and show you. Maybe in an altar or a pew. Oh, but right there is where there was a change that took place. I didn't have to tell everybody about it. I didn't have to brag about it. My children could see the difference. My wife could see the difference. My co-workers, the pastor, the deacons, everybody I came in contact with could tell there was something different from that day because that old nature died and a new nature came to live in. Oh, Lord Jesus, help them tonight, Lord. Lord, may they reach up and take a hold of your hand as you're passing by tonight. Lord, they don't have to leave here the way that they came in. But Lord, help them to recognize, Lord, that you're passing by this moment, that your Holy Spirit, your presence is here, that you're still wanting to fill with the Holy Ghost. You're still wanting to save. You're still wanting to deliver. May they lay down their old desires and old nature. Lord, may they cling to the cross tonight. May you fill them with your Spirit, I pray, Father. May tonight be the night. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help me sing it together tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time. will stop by and ask me where I've been. It's on my mind. Oh, they wonder why I'm not drinking or still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and that old man is dead. Oh, aren't you thankful for it tonight? Oh, and the man you see before you, he may look a lot the same. Oh, I may wear the same clothes, still have that same old name. Oh, but you're just looking on. Is that your testimony tonight? You ought to be the happiest person in the world if it is. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. For I was lost in darkness, just searching for the light. That preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and now that old man is dead. Oh, and the man you see before you may look alive. Let's sing it one more time together. Oh, the man you see before you may look a lot the same. We may wear these same old clothes. They've still got that same old name. Oh, yes, Lord, in the presence. just worship him tonight?
Oh, we're in the presence, in the presence.
Lord, may you speak to hearts tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us, Father. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence, for your mercy and your grace to us. Lord, if there's anything that holds us back, that hinders us, Lord, may we lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin that would so easily beset us, Father. Run with patience this race that's set before us. Lord, my mind goes back to so many different things tonight, Lord. Just seems like you brought so many memories back to me, Lord. Things from a child, experiences, and times in prayer at family altars, Lord, and services, Lord, that I felt your presence in as a teenager. Outpourings of the Holy Spirit that I've sat under, Lord. And, oh, Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your presence. Lord, my mind goes back to just a few weeks ago, Lord. Just walking down the streets of New Albany, my wife and I ran into some people that I used to know years ago. Lord, I didn't have the words to say to change something in their life, Lord, but how my heart went out to them, Lord. And no doubt they could look at me and remember times when I was headed the same direction that they are, Lord. And maybe they looked and wondered. I looked and wondered at them, Lord. And I've had them on my heart lately, been praying for them, Lord, and different ones. Seems like this week, Lord, you've just impressed it on my heart to pray for those, Lord, family members that have fallen away, friends from years gone by that have fallen away. Lord, I just pray that you continue to place a burden on my heart, Lord. Help us not to give up on them. But Lord, may prayer send the Holy Ghost after them to convict them and bring them back to you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, how our heart goes out to those that have no desire to pray, have no desire to sit in a church, have no desire to open a Bible, have no desire to sit in a presence like we're in tonight, Lord. How our heart goes out to them, Father. If they could only see such a better life, Lord, than to those that do. They do all of those things, but it's just a going through the motions. Just because it's how they've been taught, or because it's a habit, or because they know that they should intellectually. What a miserable life, Father. Lord, help them, Father, to raise up to something higher, Lord. May they begin to feed that nature of the Holy Spirit that's calling out to them, Lord. May they feast on those things, Lord. May they surround themselves by an atmosphere, Lord, that can allow that nature to grow and blossom, Father, instead of constantly being absorbed with things of the world and things of just temporary value that'll fade and decay and rust. Lord Jesus, help us to set our affections on things above. things of higher importance, things of eternal value. Lord, help us, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you tonight. Lord, in this presence that we're in, Lord, may we walk out of here closer to you than we was when we came in. May we, Lord, maybe you just wanted to remind us tonight of the importance of dying out to ourself, Lord, dying daily to that old nature, Lord. May it not just be taken lightly. May we not just go out and say it was another service, but Lord, may it be a constant reminder to us, Lord, that this is a daily walk. It's not just a one time at a revival something happened, but Lord, it's a daily walk, a daily sacrifice, Lord, that you said if any would be their disciples, to take up their cross daily, not just go do a good deed for somebody once, not just pray through one time, but Lord, daily may we take up our cross and follow you. Lord, may we not just follow the winds of popularity or the winds of doctrine or the shifting sands of men's opinion, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but Lord, may we take up our cross tonight and follow you to whatever you'd have us to do or say, wherever you would lead us, Lord, I pray. Be with each individual present here tonight, Lord. Those that'll go back and listen to it online, Lord, be with them, Father, I pray. Lord, wherever they're at right now, Lord, as they listen to this, maybe they're driving in their car, maybe they're sitting at a computer. Lord, maybe they're sitting around a table as a family listening to it. May the same Holy Spirit we feel here tonight drop down present with them, Lord. May they be determined to walk away and make sure that they die out daily to the things that have been hindering them and preventing them from walking on into a closer relationship with you. Help us, Father. Help us to get desperate enough to die out daily, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, our troubles vanish, hearts are sing this tonight. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Oh, I can feel the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord. Oh, can we just worship Him for a few minutes tonight? Let's sing it again. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Oh, I can thank you.
But there's something about that name.
Let's just worship Him.
Oh, Jesus,
entertain His presence.
Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, there's something about that name. Oh, Master, my Savior, oh, Jesus, like the fragrance after the
presence of the Lord. You know, if some celebrity came to your home, you was enjoying their company, you wouldn't want them to leave. That's how I feel right now. The most honored guest that could ever come is here right now. I don't want him to leave. I don't want to leave. I just want to worship him. I just want to thank him. Brother Eddie Biskel said on that tape or on that video, Brother Branham said, Brother Eddie, when he comes, something good always happens. I believe he's doing something good in somebody's heart right now. Let's just love him. Hallelujah.
We are standing on thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lamb of God.
Oh, we are standing.
Lord, we recognize you here. We recognize you present, Lord. We recognize you're doing a work in somebody's life, Lord. We recognize you're not through, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Lord, we magnify you. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Lamb of God. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're worthy. Hallelujah, thou alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, God, we love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Oh, we are standing on holy ground. And I know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. All around us, Lord. All around this sanctuary. We want to thank you, Lord. Jesus, now, yes, Lord. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. Sing it to him. We are standing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me? Brother Nathan was up here praying. He said something. Talked about how God put those people on his heart that he had known before. Reminded me of a chorus that we used to sing in the Pentecostal church. But it's appropriate tonight. Let's just make this our prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
E flat out the lead, sister.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me and may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee.
singing, Lord, lay some souls.